The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Uri Nidam, Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu, in honor of all the members of the Minyan, all the members of the Daf HaYomi, and in honor of the Rabbi, Tiskel Mitzvot, may he continue to succeed. Atzlacha v'arvacha b'chol ma'asi yadav. Amen. Daf Kuf Gimal. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ilu nishmat Avraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem t'nechenu b'gan Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Ashelema, Yosef ben Sarah, and Sarah bat Rachel. Elna referen lahem b'toch she'al chadah amu Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Kuf Gimal, Amud Rishon, and we are three lines from the top. We learned in the Mishnah, Lo Yumru Shinehem. In the case over here where the lady got married, and then the husband accepted upon himself to support the stepdaughter for 5 years. And then what? They got divorced, and she got married to somebody else. And he also accepted upon himself to support the stepdaughter. So the halakha is both of them have to support. One of them actually gives mezonot, actual food, and the other one gives money. So the Gemara wants to derive from this halakha a ruling in the following case. Ha'u gavra was a certain fellow, de ogar le'rechaya le'havre. He rented out his millstone to his friend, le'tahayna, in order to get the grindings, which means the renter, the one that was renting it, did not have money to pay for the rental. So the stipulation was he's going to pay from the work of the millstone, which means he'll give him grinded wheat, and that'll be the payment. Lesof i'tar. Eventually, the one that was renting, the one that the I guess you call him the renter, or the one that was leasing it out, we'll call it lesof i'tar. He became wealthy. Zavin rechaya vechamra. So now that he became wealthy, he was able to buy another millstone, and he was also able to buy a hamor, a donkey, which he could now grind his own wheat. Amarle, so he tells the renter, Ada idana hava tahinana gabach. Which means, listen, till now you've been paying me with grindings. You've been paying me with, let's say, the ground wheat. But I don't need it anymore, because I made a lot of money. I have my own ground wheat. Hashta, have the agra. Now pay me. Pay me money. So basically, you got the story. He rented out his millstone, and originally the deal was, don't pay me in money, just pay me in ground wheat. Eventually, the guy became wealthy, bought another millstone, bought a hamor. Now he has his own grindings. He has his own wheat. So he doesn't need now to get paid in more ground wheat. So he told him, listen, I want you to pay me money now. Amale mithan tahanina lach. He says, what do you mean? The deal was that I pay you from the grindings, which means I'm not paying you dimis chirut. I'm not going to pay you renter's fee. This is the fee that we stipulated. Sava. So what they do? They went to Ravina. Sava Ravina lememar haynu matnitin. So Ravina said this is similar to the case we just said in our Mishnah. Lo yomru shenehem. Both husbands cannot say hare anu zanin ota kehad, that we're just going to split and give her one, give the stepdaughter one sustenance. Ela ehad zana vehanotena deme mezonot. One gives actual mizonot itself, and one gives money for the mizonot. So similarly, over here, we should say what? That over here, he's getting now his grinding, so he bought a millstone, so therefore the other guy should pay money. Now she says, fourth line, Ehad zana v'had notena de mizonot. V'lo amin ha'shnem yitnu la mizonot. We don't say both husbands give mizonot. Even though originally when they told the stepdaughter, they told the stepdaughter they're going to give her food. And now it turned into money because she doesn't need the food anymore. Ela mezonot chaybu latid demehem because she yesh tamizonot b'makom ra'ot. She has mizonot from a different place. Hachanameh. Afabit shtot pasak ela techina. Even though the original stipulation with the renting over here was that he should pay mizonot, but now the guy doesn't need the mizonot. The one that's leasing his millstone, that doesn't need the mizonot anymore because he has his own millstone. Therefore, he should be able to pay him money. Just like the stipulation in the Mishnah changes from mizonot to money, so to obey the stipulation should change from the grindings, the techina, into money. Amalei Rav Avira, midameh. He says, what do you mean? Is it comparison? You can't compare the case of the Mishnah to the case of the millstone. Hatam had kirisa itla. Tarte kirista leta. Over there, the stepdaughter, she only has one stomach. She doesn't have two stomachs. So therefore, how much food are you going to give her? So one of them obviously has to give her food, mizonot. The other one will give her money. Both cannot give mizonot. What is she going to do with mizonot? She only has one stomach. However, haha, here it's different. Matze amarle. He's able to tell him, tehon vezavin, tehon veotiv. Which means, in this case over here, the socher, the one that's renting, is able to tell the owner of the rehayim that, listen, you could benefit from both millstones. Meaning, tehon vezabin, on the new millstone that you bought, sell the wheat. What do you care? Sell the wheat to other people, and what? Tehon veotiv. And therefore, and I'll pay you these mizonot for your sustenance, which means there's a way to get around the problem. On the new millstone that he just bought, tchon v'zabin, whatever you make from that, sell it. So you get the money from that, and I'll continue to pay you from the millstone that you are renting me. She says, a way out. The Gemara says, he can say that. You can only tell him that, well, let's say the one that's renting it, he does not have ability to get any customers to give the wheat to. Meaning he doesn't have any customers, simply he wants to pay the rent in wheat. But let's say he has other customers. So therefore, let the renter, the one that's renting the rechayim, sell the wheat, and he'll get money and he'll pay rent like a regular person with money. Kegon Zeh, if that's the case, if he has other renters, that means there are other buyers of the wheat, kofin oto amidat sedom. They force him regarding the midah of sedom. Now, what is this midah of sedom? So, the way of sedom was that we have a general rule that zeh nehene vezeh lo hasir, which means when a person is able to have hana'ah, and his friend that's giving him the hana'ah doesn't lose out anything, so of course that would be the proper way to act. This one benefits and this one doesn't lose out. But in Sedom, they would not follow that practice. Even though the person that's giving the hana'ah wasn't losing anything, they still would not enforce it. So that's called Midat Sedom. Here, if the one that's renting the millstone is able to sell the wheat to somebody else, good, so what does he care? You're not losing out anything, you're getting the money, and with the money that you're getting, you'll pay the rent. So therefore, if he's able, again, to find somebody to pay him for the wheat that he's grinding, so then the Baal HaRechayim, the owner of the millstone, he has hana'ah, because he gets his money. And the one that's grinding himself is lo hasid, he doesn't lose out, because he's anyway has to pay rent. So instead of paying the food his rent, he pays the money that he got for selling it. But in the event where he can't sell it, so in that case over there, we say he can pay the wheat, and then the owner of the millstone, he will sell his new grindings to somebody else. Comes the next Mishnah. Matnitin. Almana she'amra. You have a widow that said, "I'efshi lazun mibet ba'ali." She comes along, lazuz mibet ba'ali. She says, I do not want to leave my husband's house. And the Yerushim yechodim nomar la lechi lebet abich. Ve'anu zanin otach. The Yetumim cannot tell her, listen, go back to your father's house and we'll support you over there. If she wants to stay in the husband's house, she has every right and the Yetumim must support her from there. Ela zanin otach ve'notnim la madur lefi chevodah. Not only that, they have to support her, they have to give her a house according to her kavod, according to what she was accustomed to. And because that's what she writes, that's what's written in the ketubah. Like the ketubah says, Ve'at tehe yatvat bebeti umetzanam menekzi kol yemei megar ar melutach. And since that says in the ketubah that the yitumim are going to support her the whole time she remains in almana, so we have to give her lodging as well as mizrot. Amra, but let's say the almana said, If she lazuz mebet abba, she says, I want to go back to my father's house. Yechodim ayorshim lomar la, so the yorshim, the inheritors, are able to tell her, Im at etzlenu yesh lich mizonot. Fine, you want to stay by us? We'll give you mizonot. Ve'im en at etzlenu en lich mizonot. But if you don't want to stay by us, you're not getting mizonot. And we'll have to see exactly in the Gemara why they have that claim. Im hayta to'enet mipnei she yalda ve'hem yeladim. But let's say she's, listen, the reason why I don't want to stay by the yorshim is because she's young and the Yorshima also Yeladim, they're also young. So someone, what's the concern over here? The concern that she has over here, she does not want to live in the same house as the Yetomim, as the Yorshim, because of a problem of Yehud. And then, God forbid, let's say a Shemra will come on her, that maybe something has, she did something with them. So if she has like a Sini'ut reason why she does not want to live with the Yetomim, then Zanin Otavi Bebet Abiyah. Then they're obligated to support her, even though she is in Bet Abiyah. So if she gives a good excuse, then of course she is able to be supported in Bet Abiyah. That is the Mishnah. Comes the Gemara and says, Taru Rabbanam, Mishtameshet B'Madur Kedek Shemishtameshet B'Chayei Ba'ala. She's able to benefit from a dwelling, just like she benefited when her husband was alive. Ba'avadim v'shvachot, she's also able to benefit from servants and slaves, maid servants, kedirush mishtamshot, b'chayei ba'ala, just like she benefited when her husband was alive. Becharim ukstatot, with pillows and comforters, kedirush mishtamshot, b'chayei ba'ala, just like she benefited when her husband was alive. Bechleches, v'chle zahab, with gold and silver, vessels, kedirush mishtamshot, b'chayei ba'ala, sheken katav la, because as we know, it's written in the Ketubah, you can live in my house, and next time you will have sustenance from my estate, all the time that you will remain in Almana. So comes the Gemara, makes a duke, Bebeti, it says that what? She has the right to live in the house. Tani Rabbi Yosef, Bebeti, Velo, Bebakati. Bakati, that she says, is a small little house, more like a hut. So let's say all he has is a hut, let's say the husband. So there, the husband does not obligate himself that she can stay in the hut at the expense of the children, which means not too much room in that hut. So therefore, if there's a house, she can stay in the house. But if it's a bakati, if it's a hut, so then she has to leave in order to make room for the children. So that's what Gemara's deal, because bebeti velo bebakati, meaning if it's a small hut, she does not have rights to stay there. Amar Rav Nachman, yetomim shemachru madur almana. No, asu velo kinum. If let's say the yetomim sold the almana's dwelling, they sold the residence. So the Gemara says the sale is not a sale, it's void, and the almana gets it back. Why is it any different than what Rabbi Yohanan said? Amar Rabbi Yohanan, yetomim shekadmu umachru benechasim mu'atim. If you remember, we had a case of nechasim mu'atim, where let's say the father leaves a small estate where there's only enough to support the girls. So the deen is the girls get support, and the boys have to go out and collect. So let's say, in this case over here, the yetomim, the boys, they sold the nechasim mu'atim. Now really, that's not theirs to sell. It really belongs to the girls. But if they did sell it, the deen is ma'ashe machru, machru. The sale is a good sale. So therefore the question is, why when the yetumim sell the nechasim mu'atim that really belongs to their sisters, goes to the girls, why is the sale considered a sale? As opposed to when yetumim sell the mother's house, where you say the sale is void, what's the difference? Gemara says, Hatam lo mishtabdela mechayim. Acha mishtabdela mechayim. There, in the case of the yetomim that are selling the nechasim mu'atim, they did not own those nechasim, or the girl, I should say, the girls did not own those nechasim only after the father died. So therefore, there was no shi'bud, they had no shi'bud on it, mechayim, for when the father was alive. So therefore, when the inheritance comes, really everybody inherits it. So therefore, technically, they have a right, these boys, so if they sold it, the sale is a sale. Masha'enke, in the case of the house, she already, the wife had a shi'bud on the house already before anybody died. She was already living in the house when the husband was alive. Therefore, there's a shi'bud on it. She has a shi'bud on the house. Therefore, if the yitumim sell it, the sale is not a sale. The difference is the shi'bud factor. Again, by the case of the house, the shi'bud was considered mehayim already from the time that the wife was alive. She already was living in the house. Therefore, the sale is not a sale to yitumim sell it. Masha'enken, in the case of the nechasim, the girl did not have any stake in the nechasim when the father was still alive. Therefore, if he dies in the yitumim, the boy sell it. The sale is a sale. But we have a halacha. Mador almanat shenafal. Let's say the dwelling of the almanat fell, which means it was dilapidated, let's say it fell apart. The Yorushim are not obligated to rebuild it. Tanya and the Mechir of support this. Madur Amanat Shenafal, let's say the Madur of the Amanat fell, and the Yorushim Hayavim Libnoto, they are not obligated to rebuild it. Velo or the not only that. Afilu he omerit Hanihuni ve'ebnenu Misheli. Even if she comes along and says, just let me stay, I'll rebuild it from my own money. And Shomrim La. They do not have to listen to her, which means they're able to tell her, it's finished, we want, she can go, we want you to go, and we do not want to continue that you are living in. We don't even want to give you the rights to build it. But the question is, shipsa mai, let's say she kept the house, and if she wouldn't have made the shiputzim, like she made like a different type of construction she did on the house, and if she wouldn't have done it, the house would have fell apart. My. So now the question is, can the Yitumim come along and say, listen, if you wouldn't have made those construction, if you wouldn't have done those that fixing up, the house would have fell, and if the house would have fell, we could send you on your way. So the question is, can they still send her on her way even though she made the shiputz? So therefore, the Gemara says, Tiku, because bottom line, maybe you'll argue, listen, the house is still around. So as long as the house is still up, and she's making tikkunin, so maybe she could still stay. So the Gemara says that is indeed a tiku. So again, let's just review. The law we're learning over here is what? That if the house comes down, the Yorshim are not obligated to rebuild it. They only accept it upon themselves in the ketubah when the house is around. But once it falls, so there's no shabud on them. And for that matter, if let's say she says, Limi, I want to rebuild it, in Shemim, look, because bottom line, once it fell the house, they're not obligated to upkeep it. However, the question is, if let's say it's about to fall and she puts in money in order to mitaken it, do we say that if she wouldn't have put in the money, it would have fell, and therefore the Yitumim can say, they can kick her out? Or do we say, no, bottom line, the house is still up, so as long as she's keeping it up, she has a right to stay there. That's what the Gemara says in a... lives in a teku. Amre, amra, efshi. We said what? We said, let's say the lady comes along and says, I do, let the Mishnah. She says, I do not want to leave my father's house. So the Yorushim are able to tell her, listen, if you want to stay by us, we'll support you. But if you're staying by your father, we're not supporting you. So the Gemara says, Velit Mula, what's the problem? Lit Mula ki advatam. Support her when she's staying over there. What's the big deal for the Yitomim to support the Yitomah, the girl, when she wants to, the Almanah, when she wants to go back to her father's house? What's the difference? Let her be supported and let them send the money to the father's house. We have a rule that the more people in the house, the stronger the mazal is, and therefore, since the mazal is stronger, so more money is made. And therefore, by her going to the father's house, so the mazal of the house of the Yitomim, of the Yorshim, becomes weaker. So therefore, they say, we don't want to pay him as a not, because you're affecting the mazal. The more people in the house, so therefore, there's beracha in the house. That's the rule. Beracha, tabayit, beruba. There's more beracha, and there's more people. So they tell, listen, you're ruining our beracha, you left. So Gemara says, vilit pula lefi beracha tabayit. So they should pay her at least according to... subtract what exactly her loss was now, which is by her leaving the house. Let them subtract how much they lost as a result of her leaving, and therefore they should give her the balance. So the Gemara says, you're right. We will make that calculation, which means they have a right now to start deducting because there is a beracha when there's more people, and by her leaving, she affected the mazal of the house. Ravuna comes and teaches us over here. Leshon Hachamim, which means we're able to learn from the words of the rabbis. Number one, beracha. We're able to learn that what? There is beracha, meaning when the more people, the rabbis teaches more people in the house, more children, more people, the bigger the mazal is, the bigger chance that somebody's going to make panasa, they will help each other, therefore there's a beracha in the house when there's more people. Milshon achamim, furthermore, Milshon achamim, what do you learn? Oshir. You learn how to become wealthy, which we'll see that in a minute. Lishon achamim marpeh. And also from the words of the rabbis, you learn items that are medicinal, that can give a person a refuah. So the Gemara says, beracha had amaram. Well, we just said the case of the beracha. That's the case of what? That we learned that when there's more people in the house, the beracha is more evident, meaning there's a bigger beracha in the house by more people. Osher ditnan. Hamocher pirot havero. Person, let's say, sells his friend fruit. Mashach, once the fellow that's buying makes mishicha, he draws the fruit towards himself. Velo madar, even though he didn't count, kana. Finish. The mishicha makes the kinyan, even though he didn't count the fruit. Madat velo mashach, but let's say he counted the fruit, but he did not make a mishicha, lo kana. And therefore he's able to say, therefore, as long as they make a mishicha, the mocher, the seller, is able to back out. Which is the key of the kinyan is the mishicha. Now, the imaya pikeya, which means, let's say the buyer is a smart guy. He took a lot of pirot, and he doesn't want the buyer, he doesn't want the seller to back out, but he wants time to count them and all that. So, and he wasn't able to make mishicha on the whole pile. So what does he do? So it says, socher et mekomo. He can rent the place that the fruit are on. Once he rents the place, so then that place becomes like his chatzer. And we know that the chatzer of a person can acquire anything that's on it. And therefore, the rabbis are teaching us how to become wealthy. Which is a person buys something, and he doesn't want the seller to back out, but he doesn't have time to make a mishicha. So the rabbis gave him advice, let him actually rent the field that the fruit are on. Therefore, he makes kinyan in one shot. Marpeh, now where did we learn, where did the rabbis teach us about marpeh, about medicinal items? Ditnan. Lo yil'os adam chikim v'neiach al gabim makato b'pesach. A person should not chew on wheat, and then after he chews on the wheat, put the wheat mixture on his wound on Pesach. Why? Because when he puts the saliva on the wheat, it's going to turn into chametz. But what do you learn over here? That chewing wheat is good when you put that plaster on the wound itself. It's just not good on Pesach. So for the, you see, the rabbis also teach us items of health. Tanu Rabbanan, b'shat b'tirato sherbi. At the time when Rabbeinu HaKadosh was passing away, Amar, he said, lebanai ani tzarich, I need my boys. Nichdesu banav etzlo, so his children came to him. Amar lahem, so Rabbi said, hizaru b'chvod emechem. Number one, you have to respect, be careful with respect of your mother. Ned yehed daluk b'mkomo, which means, and where I sat at the table, you should always have a candle lit. Shulchan yehaduk b'mkomo, the table where I sat should always be set. Mitate mutzad m'koma, and the bed should be set in its place, which means with the pillows and the comforters on it and the different adornments that are there. Yosef Hefani, Yosef from Haifa, the Shimon Efrati and Shimon from Efrat, him Shimshuni b'chayai, him Shimshuni b'moti. They served me when I was alive, and they will serve me also after I pass away. Now the Gemara analyzes each one of the statements of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Zaru b'chvodim mechem. So what does he say to them? Be careful with the kavod of your mother. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Deoraita. Isn't that a deoraita? Dechtiv. Kabet tabi chavet emecha. Of course, don't you have to respect your mother? It's the Torah. It's one of the Ten Commandments. So the Gemara says, no. Eshet avavai. Which means it wasn't really their mother. It was their father's wife. It was Rabbeinu HaKadosh's wife. So the Gemara says, Eshet av namer deoraita. Meaning even a father's wife is also deoraita. You have to respect it. Detanya vevebraita. Kabet. Et abicha v'et emecha. Et abicha. What does the et come and include? Zu esht abicha. Not only have to honor your father, but you also have to honor esht abicha, your father's wife. That's part of the respect of the father. V'et emecha. And not only have to respect your mother, zu ba'al emecha. You also have to respect your mother's husband. So therefore, the Gemara is questioning, it's pashut. And what is vav yetera, the extra vav? It says, kemet et abicha ve'et. What does the extra vav come and teach me? That I bought it, I gadol. Teach me, you have to respect your older brother. So the Gemara says, so therefore, it's a Torah law. So what does that have to tell me? Respect your stepmother, respect my wife. Gemara says, hani mile mehayim. According to the Torah, one only has to respect the stepmother, which means the father's wife, only when the father is still alive. However, No, but after, let's say, the father dies, so there's really no din of kavod. So that's what Rabbeinu HaKadosh was saying. That still, even after he dies, he's aru b'kavod imechem. Comes the Gemara says, neriye daluk b'mkomo. Right, the table, the ner should be still lit in its place. Shulchanye aruch b'mkomo, and the table should be set b'tateh mutzad b'mkoma, and the bed should be made as well. My tama kol ben shemshe, because every erev Shabbat ben shemshe is ben hashemashot. That's where they used to call Erev Shabbat, they call it Beshem Shem, because everybody at Beshem Shem already is prepared for Shabbat. So they call Erev Shabbat Beshem Shem. At the time of Beshem Shem, every Erev Shabbat, the Rabbeinu HaKadosh used to come visit his house on every Erev Shabbat for Shabbat. He used to visit the family on Shabbat. And the Mefarshim say that not only did he visit them, but he was wearing special clothes, like he used to wear in his lifetime, and he used to make a kiddush on the yain, and he used to be motzi them yedei chovat kiddush. And the tzaddikim are still living, and therefore they still have sheikhut in the mitzvot. And not like other people that die where the pasuk says b'metim chofshi, and that's what the Sefer Chassidim writes in Tet Shachat. That what? That in the Chinami, the Bin Rakadosh was still obligated to mitzvot, so to speak, to a certain extent. So then he came back down every Friday night to make Yiddush for his family. Others say it was more like a spiritual feeling that they got, they felt that the Bin Rakadosh was in their presence. In any way, event, what happened? Ahu Beshem Shah. So one Friday night, Atai Shabbatah, a neighbor came to the house. Kikariya Baba. She was calling by the door. She wanted him to open the door. Amra amte, so the servant of Rabbeinu HaKadosh says, Shetiku, the Rabbi Yatif, keep quiet, making too much noise, Rabbeinu HaKadosh is over here. Kevan deshama, once Rabbeinu HaKadosh heard that the Shefha was telling other people, the word was out that Rabbeinu HaKadosh comes to visit the family on Friday night, Shuv lo atai, stopped coming. Why? Shelo leotzi la'az al tzaddikim arishonim, he did not want to give a bad reputation for the earlier tzaddikim that they don't come to visit their families. So as long as it was done b'tzina'ah, so it doesn't affect anybody else, it's fine. But once already she heard that it was being publicized by the Shefha, so he said, I can't come anymore because I don't want to speak, I don't want my actions to be disparaging to the earlier tzaddikim. And then he continues, Yosef, Haifani, Shimon, Efrati, Hem Shimshuni b'chayai, v'hem Yishimshuni b'moti. That those two men, Yosef from Haifa and Shimon from Efrat, they served me when I was alive, and they will serve me also in my death. Savur mineh. So originally the Gemara understood Ba'adin al-Mahu de-Kamar, which means they understood the meaning, they're going to serve me in my death, meaning they're going to take care of the funeral. They'll be in charge of the burial. However, but then they realized that these two people died before the Ben HaKadosh. So he could not have meant that they're going to take care of the funeral, because they died first. They died even before the Ben HaKadosh. He was telling them that they're going to serve the Ben HaKadosh in the world to come. And the reason why he had to tell them that they are going to die, and they're going to serve the Ben HaKadosh in the Olam Abba. Which is, what was the purpose in telling him that? Because maybe the people are going to think that these two men, they had certain sins. Maybe the only reason why they remained alive was because the zikhut of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So therefore, he told them, no, that really their time is to die now, because that's their time to die. And therefore, when they get to Olam Haba, they're going to continue to serve Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So nobody should think that they're dying because of, maybe they had an Avirah. No, he was saying, your time is to die, and therefore you'll serve me in Olam Haba. Continues the Gemara Ma'alehim, he told his children, Lehachmei Yisrael, and he said, I need the rabbis of Israel, in order to give them last will and testament. So he told them, I do not want to be eulogized in the small cities. Which means when the Levaya is going to pass through the different cities, I do not want to be eulogized. They're only in the big Kirachim, which means where there is a lot of people. Which means let the people from the cities gather into the big Kirachot, into the big cities. But he does not want to be eulogized in the smaller cities. So comes the Gemara and says, V'oshivu yeshiva le'arish l'shim yom. He said, after 30 days of my demise, I want you to go back to learning Torah like you learn, and do not involve yourself in hispedim, any more eulogies. Shimon bini hacham. Shimon, my son, he is the hacham. Gamliel bini nasi. Gamliel will be the president. Hanina bar Hama yeshev barosh. And Hanina bar Hama will be the rosh yeshiva. Comes Gemara and analyzes. Al tespeduni ba'yarot. Why did he tell him, I don't want to be eulogized in the cities. Savur minem mishum terhav to come on this. Maybe because of that he didn't want to do it because of the tirha factor, which means because he didn't want the people in the small villages that are close to the city, that they're going to have to now come to the city to eulogize. If you're going to give eulogies in the cities, so everybody in the surrounding areas have to be matiach themselves to come to the city to hear the eulogies. And therefore, he didn't want to make a tirha on the people. So therefore, he just said, make one big eulogies in the big cities. Maybe that's the reason. Comes Gemara and says, "Kevan dehaze dekasaf tebicherachim v'katu kula alma." But that didn't work out anyway because they were giving eulogies in the kerachim, and everybody was coming anyway from all the different small villages and all the different cities. So the tirha factor was there as well. Amru shmaminam mishmikarau dekamar. He must have said he doesn't want to make small eulogies in the city because he wants to have kavod. Kavod for what? Kavod at Torah, which means when you make big levayot in the kerachim, so that would be more of kavod haTorah because more people will congregate, as opposed to making smaller funerals in each different city. Comes the Gemara and says, so therefore yikara is the kavod of the Torah. Hoshivu yeshiva l'chash tushim yom. He said, I want the yeshiva to go back to normal after 30 days and do not eulogize anymore. Delo adif tam Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm not better than Moshe dechtiv. Vayibku b'nei set Moshe b'arbot ma'ah shloshim yom. Tlatinyo means sabdim b'imamah v'nela. So the Gemara says, for 30 days for Rabbeinu HaKadosh, they eulogized day and night. Mikan v'ilach sabdu b'imamah. They just gave eulogies in the day. The garse and they learned at night. They eulogized at night and they learned in the day. Until they finished the eulogies, which actually took 1 year. Now you're going to ask a question, but I mean, it still seems that Rabbeinu HaKadosh's eulogies were bigger than Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu only finished at 30 days. And after 30 days it was finished. But Rabbeinu HaKadosh, after 30 days, they did it in the day, or they did it in the night. So the explanation is that they did that by themselves. She said, Rabbeinu HaKadosh does not want to command them to do something more than Moshe Rabbeinu. But whatever they did on themselves, so that's okay. Comes the Gemara and says, Ahu Yoma, that day, Dashkafte de Rabbi, on the day that he died, Nafka bat kala, bat kol kemer of heaven, Ne'amna, kol da'ava b'shkafte de Rabbi, whoever is involved in the eulogy and the funeral of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Mizumanu l'chaya olam haba, which means he is prepared to go to olam haba. The Mefashim explain over here, with Tosafot, that is, without judgment and without Yisurin. There was a certain launderer called Yoma Hava Ateh. Every day he would come in front of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. But on the day that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was niftad, he didn't come. But when he heard a bat call, he heard about the bat call that said whoever was by the Rabbeinu HaKadosh is going to go to Olam Haba, Sadiq Le'igra, he climbed up to the roof, and he threw himself to the ground, he fell from the ground to the ground, Vamit, and he died. They said, even this Koves has Chelik Le'olam Haba. That many interpretations to set over here. What exactly was this Koves doing? So the Mefarshim explain over here, based on Yerushalmi, that the day that Rabbeinu HaKadosh passed away was Friday. And it was a miracle that everybody was able to get home from the funeral just in time, and there was no Chilul Shabbat. And the people were worried that there was a Chilul Shabbat, but a bat kol came out and said, whoever who was not lazy, whoever was involved in the spirit of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, was guaranteed mizuman lechaya olam haba. They did not mechalel Shabbat, except for this Koves. Because since this Koves did not come to the funeral, so therefore it ended up coming out that he did not have the special protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he ended up becoming mechalel Shabbat. The punishment of mechalel Shabbat is what? Sekila. So therefore he gave himself sekila by jumping off the building, and therefore he ended up Gamkin Bechaye Olam Abba. Comes Gemara and says, Shimon Beni Acham. One of the things that Rabbeinu HaKadosh said, he says, Shimon, my son, is Hakam. He's going to be the Hakam. So Gemara says, "My Kamar," which is what does it mean by saying that? Haki Kamar, Afapi Shimon Beni Hakam. Even though my son Shimon is the Hakam, Gamliel Beni Nasi. Gamliel, who's the firstborn, is going to be the Nasi. So it's even though Shimon's the Hakam, Gamliel is going to become the Nasi. Amar Levi Sidiqa Lememar. Do you have to tell me this? Which is Pashut. Of course, the oldest son inherits the father's position. So Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Rabbi. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Rabbi comes along and tells the Levi, Siricha lach ul matle atach, which means my father had to say what he said, and what he said, and your limpings. Which is, he said it to Levi in a derogatory way. Levi saying, understand, why did the Benokadosh have to say such things? Pashut. So he said, he had to say it, it was necessary, and to your limpings. Which means he's saying it in a derogatory way, because Levi had a limp. And therefore, he was like saying that, Rabbi Shimon was like Peter on his father's kavod. What are you saying, my father didn't have to say it? He had to say it, and you're limping, he had to say it. So the Gemara says, "My kashale, what's the problem of on the Bishwan against Levi? How can I come out? It's a Bifirush pasuk that says the oldest son gets the Yerusha of the Nisiut. Like it says, 'Vetamamlachan atal Yehoram ki wa bechor.' It says the kingdom was given over to Yehoram because he was the bechor. So Levi lechavod was right. The Ben Rakhadus's words were superfluous. Gemara says, 'No, how memale makom abotavava,' which means over there, yes, he filled his father's shoes. He was worthy. Then Abban Gamliel." But the Hadush over is, even though Shimon really is the Hakam, Rabban Gamliel is really not the first choice to succeed his father, because really Shimon is the Hakam. So therefore, that's what the Gemara has come along to say, that Levi was really saying a Hadush. That what? That even though Levi was saying it's superfluous, so that Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, Right, Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, it wasn't superfluous. Even though we know in the Navi that, let's say, the kingdom went to Yehoram because he was the firstborn, here it's different. Because Shimon really was a Tamir Hakam, and then Moshe went to him. So still, it goes to the Bechor, who was a Ben Gamliel. Gemara says, V'Rabbi my Tam Avedache, why did the Ben Kadosh not appoint Rabbi Shimon to become the Nasi, even though he was greater Bechokhmah? Because Nehi De'eno Mimalem Akum Avotam Bechokhmah. True, that Rabban Gamliel might not have been the Hakam, like his brothers, however, but in fear of God, he would be able to take his father's place, which means he might not have had the trait of Hakam, like his brother, but he had the trait of Yiratchet, and that made him worthy of the position. Harina bar Chama Yishim Barosh. So he said, what? Harina bar Chama, he's going to be the Rosh Hashiva. Look, he did not accept the position that Rabbi Hanina, that is to be the Rosh Hashiva. Shaya Rabbi Afes Gadol Lemenu, which Teshlim Omechzak. So Afes was 2.5 years older than him. Yativ Rabbi Afes Berishas. Afes ended up becoming the Rosh Hashiva. Yativ Rabbi Hanina Aberai. And since Rabbi Hanina was also Hashuv, he did not subjugate himself to Rabbi Afes, and therefore he did not enter the Bet Midrash, and he would sit outside. Good, and Levi would sit outside for the kavod of Rabbi Hanina, so he would sit with him outside. What happened? Rabbi Afes died. So now Rabbi Hanina became Rosh Hashiva. So now there was no one for Levi to learn with, which means Levi did not enter the yeshiva once Rav Hanina became the yeshiva, because Rav Hanina was not as great as Levi, not in Torah and not in years, and therefore Levi was not subject, did not subjugate himself to the teaching to be a student of Rav Hanina. So now Levi did not have anybody to learn with. So he decided to move from Eretz Yisrael. And he went to Babel. And that's what they told Rav once when Levi came down to Babel. Gavra Rabba Eklal Nardea. There's a great man that has come down to Nardea Umitla, and he has a limp. Vidarish, and he's Doresh Kelila Shari. That a lady is permissible to go out on Shabbat with a certain crown that they used to wear on their heads, and therefore we're not worried that she might take it off her head to show it to somebody, and therefore you have a problem of carrying, because usually who wears these crowns on their heads? Isha Hashuvah, prominent woman, and prominent woman, it's not the derech for them to take off their jewelry to show it in the Rishut HaRabim. So he was the one that said Kelila Shari. So they told the Rav, there's a man that's coming from Babez, Tamin Acham, he has a limp, and he's Matir the Kelila on Shabbat. So he says, So he realized that what? Not nafshed Rabbi Afes. He says, must be Rabbi Afes passed away. The Yatir of Harina ben Eshan of Harina now is the Rosh Hashiva. Velo Avale, Levi Yiddish, the Metavka Ben. Now Levi does not have anyone to learn with. The Katad, if we kept him, which is not figured out the whole story. Kabras, who told him? Ve'emar of Harina, not nafshed. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe how did Rav know the whole story? Maybe it was Rabbi Harina that passed away. The Rav Afes, the Yativ Yativ, Rav Afes remained the Rosh Hashiva, velo abal Levi inishtem etav gabeh, and still Levi did not have anybody to learn with, because he did not learn with Rav Afes. Vekatal Babel, he came to Babel. So Gemara says, no, he knew Rav from two different reasons why that it had to be that Rav Afes was the one that passed away, and not Rav Hanina. Ibaitema Levi, Rabbi Afes mechafav akayifle. Levi actually was subjugated himself to Rav Afes, and therefore, if Rav Hanina passed away, in the Chinami, Rav Afes remained Rosh Yeshiva. Levi would have went into the yeshiva and subjugated himself to learn under the shita of Rav Afes. He only stayed outside for the kavod of Rabbi Hanina. But if Rav Hanina had passed away, he would have went back to Rav Afes to learn with him, and if we would not have left the yeshiva to go to Babel. So that's how we knew that it must have been that it was Rav Afes that passed away. Kevan de'amar Rabbi. Since Rabbi said Hanina barhamay yeshiv barosh losagi de lo malich, which is once Rabbi said in his last will and testament that Hanina is going to become the Rosh Yeshiva, it had to happen. Therefore, it must have been Rav Afes that passed away, and the Hanina was able to take over the position. Dechtimu b'tzadikim v'tikzar omer v'yakom lach, which is the tzadikim, they make a gezerah, and it comes true. So therefore, they knew exactly, Rav knew that must have been Rav Afes that passed away, and Hanina became the Rosh Yeshiva based on the last will and testament of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. V'hava Rabbi Chiya. The Gemara says, what do you mean? You had Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya was greater than Rav Hanina. How come they didn't appoint Rav Chiya to become the Rosh Yeshiva? So the Gemara says, not nafshem, because he died already. Rav Chiya wasn't around. Which means, if Chiya was not around at the time of Rabbi, that's why, again, I repeat the question. Exactly, because Rav Chiya was greater than Rav Hanina, so then why didn't the Rabbeinu HaKadosh appoint Rav Chiya to be the Rosh Yeshiva? So Gemara says, Nach Nafshe. No, because Rav Chiya was not around, meaning Rav Chiya died before Rabbeinu HaKadosh. What do you mean he died before? Rav Chiya himself said, I saw the grave of Rabbi, and I cried. My tears came down in my eyes. It means when Rabbeinu HaKadosh was alive, Rav Chiya was alive as well. Therefore, we should have appointed Rav Chiya. Now, switch the story around. Not that Rabbi Chiya said it on Rabbi, but say it on Rabbi said, I saw the grave of Rabbi Chiya, and I cried on it. What do you mean? It says, on the day that Rabbeinu HaKadosh passed away, the Inyan of Kedusha also went. So it's much that Rabbi Chiya outlived Rabbi, because Rabbeinu HaKadosh was called Kadosh, right? And therefore, it says, on the day that he died, the Kedusha left the world. So the Gemara says, Ipuch, which means not, the Rabbi Chiya did not say it on the B, but the Rabbi said on the day Rabbi Chiya died, the Kedusha left as well. Gemara says, V'atanya, we have a bright, Kishahala Rabbi, when the Rabbi got sick, Nechnas Rabbi Chiya, so Rabbi Chiya came to visit him. Umsaoshu Bukhes, and he found him that Rabbi Rakadosh was crying. Amados Rabbi Chiya says, Rabbi, Mibdemata Bukhe, V'atanya, we have a bright, it says, Met, Betochas Chok, if a person dies and he's laughing, Simanya Phil, it's a good sign. Betocha Bechi, but if he dies from crying, Siman Rahlo. Therefore, what are you crying for? Because it's a bad sign. So comes the Gemara and says, other different signs that are good or bad at a person's death. The Gemara says, Panav Lemata, if a person dies with his face is up, Siman Yafilo, it's a good sign. Panav Lemata, if he dies with his face down, Siman Rahlo. Panav Klapeham, if he's facing the people, Siman Yafilo. Klapeham, if his face is facing the Kotel, Siman Rahlo. Panav Yerukin, if his face is green, Siman Rahlo, at the time of death. Panav Sumin, if his face is like shiny, Vadumim red, Siman Yafilo, it's a good sign. Mit, Perev Shabbat, if a person dies on Friday, Siman Yafilo, it's a good sign. Because we know there's no Geinam on Shabbat, and if we go straight into Menuha, the Motzei Shabbat, if a person dies on Motzei Shabbat, that's when Geinam opens, Siman Rahlo, that's a bad sign. Mit, Perev Kippurim, if a person dies on Erev Kippur, Siman because he didn't get to make teshuvah yet. But Motzei Yom Kippur, if he dies on Motzei Kippur, Siman Yafilo, because he just got teshuvah from all the sins. Met Mechoni Me'ayim, if a person dies from intestinal problems, Siman Yafilo, it's a good sign. If they should have mentioned tzaddikim, because the majority of the tzaddikim, Mitatam Mechoni Me'ayim, they die from intestinal problems. Why did tzaddikim die from intestinal problems? Because they're removed from any food. When their intestines are not working, so therefore, the it extricates all the food from the intestines, and therefore like that they're clean from any food like angels. So if a person dies from intestinal problems, that's a sign, it's a good sign. So the bottom line, the Gemara says, when the bee visited, when the Bihiya visited the bee, was crying. So he told him, what are you crying for? It's not a good siman before you die. Amar lo, ana atorah u'mitzvot ka b'achina. He says, no, I'm crying over here, not because I'm afraid of the death. That's a siman ra, but I'm not afraid. I'm crying over here that I'm not going to be able to learn Torah and do mitzvot like I was able to. And that's already a positive crying. But what do you see over here? You see over here that Rabbi Hiya actually visited Rabbi HaKadosh. So it means Rabbi Hiya outlived Rabbi HaKadosh. So why did Rabbi HaKadosh appoint Rabbi Hiya to become the Rosh Yeshiva? Because he was greater than Rabbi Hanina. Gemara says, Ipuch. We could switch that story around as well and say it was indeed Rabbi that came to visit Rabbi Hiya, and all that conversation was the reverse. It was Rabbi talking to Rabbi Hiya. And really, I can tell you, no, and all those things that we said, do not switch. And really, I'll tell you, Rabbi Hiya lived after Rabbi. Also, then why didn't Rabbeinu HaKadosh appoint Rabbi Hiya to become the Rosh Yeshiva? Says Rabbi Hiya asuk b'mitzvot haba. Because Rabbi Hiya was involved in doing mitzvot. V'Rabbi Savadu afkere. So Rabbi said, listen, he's involved in doing mitzvot, I'm not going to interrupt his mitzvot performance. V'ayinu d'chiyavu minsu. That's why when the Hakamim were fighting with each other, Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Hiya, Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Hiya were having a quarrel amongst them. Amale Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Hiya. So Rabbi Hanina tells Rabbi Hiya, Bahade didi minsat, are you fighting with me? That if the Torah Hashem would be close to be forgotten, I would be able to bring the Torah back from my pilpuli, which means from my analytical thinking, I would be able to bring back the Torah even if it would be forgotten. He says, you potentially have a chance to save the Torah if it would be forgotten. He says, but I did it. I have secured to make sure that the Torah is not going to be forgotten. Torah Israel. Da'itina kitana. What did I do? I brought seeds of pishtan, which means seeds of flax. Veshadina, and I planted them. Umegedalena nishbe. And from the flax that grew, I made for myself a reshet. Reshet is like a trap, a net trap. Veshayedna tabya, and I trapped sivi. Sivi is like deers. I took the meat of the deer after I slaughtered and I gave it to the orphans. And I made cloth, parchment from the skins of these deer. And I went to a place where they did not have any school teachers. I wrote on the cloth five chumashim to five children. And then I taught them the six orders of the Mishnah, to six children. Each child he was fluent in one of the siddurim of the Mishnah. To each one, I told them, now that you learned that siddur cold, go teach it to your friend. So therefore, he was so careful. He preserved Torah by writing such holy chumashim that he planted the seeds that eventually would trap trap the deers, etc. In order what? In order that the Torah should be b'ktushav Torah, he went himself and he taught the five boys chumash and the six boys the mishnayot. And that's what Rabbi said regarding Hiya. Kama gedolim maaseh Hiya. How great are the deeds of Hiya. So he was all saying with mitzvot. Amad Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi. So Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, Afilu mimcha? Was Rabbi Hiya even greater than you? Amar le'in. He said, yes indeed. Rabbi Hiya was even greater than me. Amar le'in Rabbi Shmael bar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Shmael, the son of Rabbi Yosef, said, Afilu me'abba? Was Rabbi Hiya greater than my father, Rabbi Yosef? Amar le'in has v'shalom lo te'kazot b'Yisrael. He told him, has v'shalom, don't say that. That is not true. Amadahen, after that we continue with Rabbi HaKadosh said, Libni Katan, and he said, because I need my younger son. Nichnas Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, came to him. Masalo Sidre Chochma. So he gave him all the secrets and how to be an abedin, and how we supposed to act. Now I need my older son. So the Ben Gamliel entered. Umasar lo sidre nesiut. He told him the order of how to be the president and nasi of Klaisel. Amar lo beni. He told him, my son, nehog nesiut ka beramim, which means you should sit next to the high people that you will have stature in your nesiut. Uzrok marab betamidim, and the talmidim you should instill fear in them. Kebra says, what do you mean? You should instill fear in the students? It says, and this person feared, I'm sorry, the Pasuk says that those that fear God were respected. Who is this talking about? Amar Mor, Zeh Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda. This is referred to Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda. Kishayaru et Tamid Hakam, Ya'omed Bekaso. When he would see a Tamid Hakam, he would stand up from his throne, Umhabbeko, he would hug him and Hashekho, he would kiss him, Vekorelo, Rabbi, Rabbi, Mori, Mori. So you see what? The president does not put fear in the students. Adrabat, Yireh Shemichabed, he gives him respect. So why did the Rabbeinu HaKadosh tell his son, the Ben Gamliel, to throw fear into the children? Kevana says, Nakashya, Habit Sinha, Habit Faresya. It depends. In Sin'ah, in private, of course, the Nasi has to show tremendous respect for the Tamid HaKamim. However, Befadishya, in public, he has to establish his position, and therefore, even the Tamid HaKamim have to fear the Nasi. Tanya, Rabbi Mutal B'Sipori. It says, the Berwa Kadosh, he was sick in the city of Sipori. Umako Mukhano B'Bet Sha'arim. But his burial place was in a place called Bet Sha'arim. The Kabbalah has a question, V'atanya, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tardo. We learn from this pasuk that when a person has a court case, he should go pursue the justice. Sedek, sedek, pursue it in the best bet din. Beror bet din yafeh, the Gemara says. And where do you go? Halech ahar rabbi lebet sha'arim. Go to bet sha'arim in order to get judged in the bet din of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that he's the head of. So you see what? Rabbeinu HaKadosh really lived in bet sha'arim. Why does the Gemara say he lived in Sipori? Comes and says, Rabbi b'Bet Sha'arim Abba. You're right. Originally, he lived in Bet Sha'arim. But what happened when he got sick? They brought him to the city of Sipori. Why? For two reasons. The Middalya, because it's in a high place. That's what they call Sipori. Sipori is like a bird. Therefore, it's in a high place that she says that. Lama nikra shema Sipori, meaning the top Rashi. She yoshevet berosh har kitzipori. It's on the top of the mountain, like a bird. And what's good? Ubsim avira. And therefore, the air is very clear. The air is very crisp. It's good air. It's clean air. And therefore, it's good for the sick people. So therefore, they moved him to Sipori, because originally he lived in Bet Sha'arim. That was in the valley. That was a hot place. And therefore the heat would cause him to be more sick. So in Echanami, even though he lived originally in Bet Sha'arim, but they moved him to Tzipori for the health and to breathe the good air. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.